जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे,
following is a lecture by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Verse number 23, on the topic How to Overcome Anarthas, delivered on 15th of June 2017 in Washington, D.C.
Gopi Jana Bala Bha Ivala Dhari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya In the Mahaprabhu's sense, Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami to Vrindavan. Rupa and Sanatana were one time holding very important positions in the government. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them three instructions. He said, build temples, write books on devotional service, and identify places where the Lord performed his pastimes. So sometimes people say, what is the value of these temples? These temples, as Prabhupada says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, are spiritual hospitals. Just like many of you here are doctors. People come to the hospital to recover their health. So we go to the temple of darshan of the Lordship, hear the philosophy, and associate with devotees. In the Radha Mata temple, we have one of the deities of Bodhisai. I just came from Moscow, and in Moscow we had a big celebration. It was the 25th anniversary of the installation of Bodhisai deities. And the Baba was also there. So Prabhupada introduced us to also deity worship. The Mayavadis say God has no form. God is formless. And God is all pervasive. How can he have a form? But the scriptures establish that even though God is all pervasive, he still retains his transcendental form. And this Ajagraha is not different from the Lord. So temples are also needed to inspire the Christian souls how to make spiritual advancement. So we should take advantage of these temples. And I wanted to read two verses from the Bhagavatam, 7th Canto. Radha Muni is explaining in Yudhishthira Maharaj how we can make spiritual advancement and how we can overcome our anarthas. Anartha means that which is unnecessary or not required. So there are a series of verses I would request anyone to read 7th Canto, Chapter 15, Text 22 onwards. I'm just reading some of them. So Prabhu Krishna Narada Muni explains, by discussing spiritual knowledge, one can conquer lamentation and illusion. By serving a great devotee, one can become pineless. By keeping silent, one can avoid obstacles on the path of mystic yoga. And simply by stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. Would you repeat after me?
Yes.
It's 7th Canto, Chapter 15, Text 23. By discussing spiritual knowledge, one can conquer lamentation and illusion. By serving a great devotee, one can become prideless. By keeping silent, one can avoid obstacles on the path of mystic yoga. And simply by stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. If one's son has died, one may certainly be affected by temptation and illusion and cry for a dead son. But one may overcome temptation and illusion by considering the verses of Bhagavad Gita. And the soul transmigrates, one who has taken birth must give up the present body, and then he will suddenly set another body. There should be no cause for temptation. The Bhagavad Gita says, Dhira Satana Mujati. One is a Dhira observer who is learning in philosophy and establishing knowledge cannot be unhappy or the transformation of the soul. So the Vedic scriptures gave us complete guidance. We should have full faith in the Vedic message and realize this is why it meant. For our benefit. There are 10 offenses in chanting the holy name. What is the fourth offense? Blasphemy the Vedic literature. Literature persons of the Vedic version. They are so-called educated people. Even in India who say, oh, the Vedas are outdated, they're not relevant today. It's mythology. What does mythology mean? Imagination. The Vedas are not imagination. They give us eternal truth. And we should have full faith. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge, gives us perfect guidance into every aspect of life. For example, just in one verse, there are 18,000 verses in the Bhagavatam. So you can understand or imagine how much knowledge there is. I just read to you one verse. What is Narada Muni saying in this verse? He says, one can, by discussing spiritual knowledge, one can overcome illusion and lamentation. So what does lamentation mean? I'm feeling sorry for what has happened. When the relative passes away, we lament. When some tragedy takes place, we lament. When you lose what you want and what you have, we lament. As you get older, you lament for days when you were younger. Am I right? Oh, you all don't lament. Sam Krishna was telling me, you're going to be 69 next week. So I'm sure as you get older, you lament for days when you're younger. When the teens are going from teenhood to the next group, they lament, oh, I'm not a teenager anymore. And again, you lament. When you see some nice product being advertised, your neighbor having it, and you don't have it. So there are many types of lamentation. And now the Muni says, by cultivating spiritual knowledge, just like many times we saw sadhus have to go to a place where somebody has died, or somebody is sick. See, everyone is lamenting, oh, he's gone, he's gone, he's gone. But how is he gone? The body is still there. Why do we say he's gone? We see he's gone because there was something in the body which is not there anymore. In 1968, that time I was studying in Montreal, there was an article in the Montreal Gazette, front page. The article featured an interview with a leading doctor from Toronto General Hospital. Toronto General Hospital is a big hospital in Toronto. And he was a doctor who had seen people die for 32 years. So the doctor said in an interview, I have seen people die for 32 years. I am convinced there is something in the body. And then when that something leaves the body is pronounced there. But now, we are going to research and see where that something and what is it. So I happened to see that article and I sent it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada would regularly correspond on different issues with leaders around the world. So Prabhupada wrote a letter to this doctor. Prabhupada said, I'm very happy that at least you're admitting that there's something in the body. And when something means the body is pronounced that. But then Prabhupada said, now I understand in your article that you want to see what is that something and where it is. So Prabhupada quoted from the Bhagavad Gita extensively to show that that would never be possible. In the end, the scientist wrote back to Prabhupada and said, the material scientists can never match the wisdom of the Vedas. This whole exchange between Prabhupada and this doctor, I believe his name is Dr. Bijou, is in the science of self-realization. It's published, if you have a copy of the science of self-realization, please read that actually. So, anytime we have to go, where people are lamenting and someone's passing away. And we explain to them. But the body has a, the soul hasn't gone. The body is perishable. The body, we can see, goes through six stages of transformation. The body in the first place takes birth. Then it grows. Then it maintains itself. Then it produces byproducts, then it dwindles, and finally, what is it called?
Vanishes.
So whether you're a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian, you know, everyone's body goes through these six phases of transformation. The Prabhupada said, who is saying Bhagavad Gita is a Hindu scripture? Prabhupada said, don't the Christians and the Muslims go through the six stages? So Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita is given universal knowledge. Yesterday, I was flying on the Aeroflot from Moscow to New York, and the chief steward came up to me and said, I have a copy of the Bhagavad Gita, and I read it regularly. Bhagavad Gita is a universal book of knowledge. I was in China 2 weeks ago, or 2 weeks, and one of the devotees there is a big Chinese herbal doctor. In fact, he's coming to India on the 21st of the month. So he invited me to a program in his clinic. His whole clinic, it's amazing. I've never seen a clinic like this. It's a six-room clinic. One room he has kept for kirtan. He has Vrindavan kirtans everywhere. One day a week, he has a program with businessmen. I'll try and show you in video tomorrow. And the whole office is full of Prabhupada's books in Chinese. And he gives them to all his patients free. So, these books are presenting universal knowledge. And the doctors in many parts of the world are preaching a lot more than the doctors in Washington. Yeah. In Washington area, doctors are in retirement. Yeah. Many more active. And this was China of all the places. And he had a program with 300 businessmen every month to make them all chant Hare Krishna. And his office on the ceiling is a Hare Krishna mantra written in Sanskrit. I think I have pictures. So the Vedic knowledge is eternal knowledge. Now our issue is, if you have spiritual knowledge, then you can overcome lamentation and illusion. So we are always lamenting. And how can you overcome lamentation with knowledge? In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a story of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. They were Jaya-Vijaya at one time. So Hiranyaksha was killed by the Lord. And his wife and son were lamenting. Oh, our father passed away. So, and they would not let the body go for burial. The Vedic etiquette is, if a man passes away in the morning, the funeral should be before the night. And if he passes away in the evening, it should be before next morning. So the wife and the sons were holding on to the dead body and loudly crying, thinking that the dead body would become alive. So Yamaraj heard this crying. So Yamaraj disguised himself as a young boy, but a young child can walk in anywhere. And Yamaraj came to the assembly where the dead body was lying, and everyone was crying. So Yamaraj said, look at these fools. They're crying, thinking that they will bring back the dead father and husband to life. And then Yamaraj said, he gave a story. They're crying, but they don't realize that their own death is going to come soon. And he gave a story. That there was a Kalinga bird and his wife and children, and a hunter was passing by. The hunter shot the wife and she died. The husband began to lament, oh, my better half is now dead. Who is going to look after the children? And as he was thinking and lamenting, the cunning hunter shot the father also. So Yamaraj gave this story to show that we are lamenting, but we don't know that our own end can come at any time. So we must have the spiritual knowledge. There is danger at every step. Doesn't matter how secure you may be. There is danger at every step. So Yamaraj is so Narada Muni saying, with spiritual knowledge, you can overcome lamentation. Let's say you're lamenting. Your next door neighbor has bought a big house. He has a mansion. And he has 100 cars. And you only have 2 or 3 cars. So you may be lamenting. But if you have spiritual knowledge, you will know there's a law of karma. And the law of karma happens in distress based on our history of karma. So then you won't lament. If you feel, I don't have something which my next door neighbor has. So cultivating spiritual knowledge is important. Then illusion. Now the Muni is saying, if you have spiritual knowledge, You can hold term lamentation and so what does illusion mean? Illusion means I'm falsely thinking I can find happiness in the material world. Just like everyone in India and all over the world, their dream is to come to America, isn't it? America is there. Hollywood has done a good job in presenting the American dream to the whole world. So, doesn't matter where you reside, everyone aspires to come to America as a dream. And why? They think that over here I'm going to get happiness and this and that and mutual prosperity. But ultimately, there is birth and disease only, even over here. It's not that people are exempt from the miseries of life. So we must cultivate spiritual knowledge. Prahlad Maharaj says, Narate Bhajan Sota Gate Me Vishnu. People do not know how real happiness can be found. By and large, people are under the illusion that if I have money, if I have free sex, if I have intoxication, that's going to give me happiness. So you're living in a society, America, where everything is very liberal, isn't it? America, in some respects, is the world leader of liberalism. Everything is recognized. Gay marriages are recognized. Everything else gets recognized. So, if you have spiritual knowledge, you will know that you will you can avoid lamentation and you can avoid illusion. You will know that I will never be able to find real happiness. I may become Bill Gates, still, you won't get real happiness. So therefore, it is important that we cultivate spiritual knowledge. How do you cultivate spiritual knowledge? That's the next question. It's not that anybody can give his own presentation and this is spiritual knowledge. Spiritual knowledge must be from a bona fide source, must be from a bona fide scripture. That's like everything that we present in our Krishna conscious movement is based on the Vedic message. Prabhupada did not give us anything which was adulterated or concocted. He gave us everything that's in the Shastra. So the Shastra presents eternal wisdom for humanity. And Prabhupada has presented these in such a simple language. And Prabhupada's books have been translated in 18 languages of the world. And people are reading them. Why? Because they are finding answers to all questions. So we should read these books. So by cultivating spiritual knowledge, one can overcome what? Yes. Sometimes we lament, oh, I lost everything. But if you have spiritual knowledge, then you won't be lamenting. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a story of a prostitute called Pingala. Pingala was standing at a door all day. Every man was passing by, she would think, oh, maybe he's going to be my customer. But ultimately she didn't get any customer. So initially she was lamenting. But then the lamentation turned into deep renunciation. And she became a great devotee of love. And another story, there was an Amandi Brahmin. He was a very, very rich man. Probably the richest man of his time. But he was also a very staunch miser. He would not give one penny to anyone. You know, he would not spend money on himself, nor would he give money to anyone. As a result, he developed a lot of enemies. His wife became his enemy. You have so much money, you don't give me any money. What good is it? His children said the same thing. His relatives said the same thing. In the Bhagavatam it is said, when you have money, you make a lot of enemies also. First of all, the relatives become your enemy. They say, you became rich due to our blessings, give us our share. Then the government says, you became rich because we have good administration, pay your taxes. And the tax consultants tell you how to avoid taxes. That's a unique thing of Kali Yuga. You have people who tell you, you must pay. You have people who are legally empowered to tell you how you can avoid paying. That's right. So, and then the thieves become your enemy. The thieves never target a poor man. A poor man can sleep with his door open. But a rich man has to have boundary walls, electronic wires, 10 types of dogs. So, you go to Africa, all these big men, they have big boundary walls, electronic wires, dogs, guards, everything. So this man was very rich, but he wouldn't give a penny to anyone. He would not enjoy himself either. So they all became his enemies. And by the will of Providence, this man lost all his money and he became a pauper. So when he became a pauper, initially he was in a state of shock. I lost everything I had. A miser just prays for his money. But then that lamentation turned into renunciation. And he started chanting the name of the Lord. And then as he was traveling as a mendicant, chanting the name of the Lord, people would ridicule him. Hey, this man was a rich man, now he's become a pauper, so he become a devotee. But still he did not get disturbed, even in chanting. So when you have knowledge, you can overcome illusion. And one another one is saying, by serving great devotee, now you become pride then. So pride is a big obstacle on the path of spiritual life. Therefore Lord Chaitanya has preached Tina Vesuni Chena. Become more humble than a trade of grass. So generally we are very proud and we like being proud. Sometimes we say things. If I'm not proud, then people will exploit me. But the other way is that serve a great devotee, serve a Vaishnava. Fortunate are those souls who have the opportunity to serve great devotees and to serve Vaishnava. And what does serving mean? Serving means following instructions. Serving means being practical service. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you read the story of Madhava Puri, and he had two disciples, Ishwar Puri and Ramchandra Puri. And Ishwar Puri's disciple was, So Ramchandra Puri, he had a habit of criticizing people. He would love criticizing. He could not digest his food and he'd criticize some people. When the sannyasi would come to Jagannath Puri, he would take big plates of Mahaprasad to them. And they would say, no, we can't eat so much, we are sitting and renunciates. Then he would say, oh, this is Mahaprasad. If we don't eat, you know, they're big fans. Then when they would read, he would say, look at these renunciates. Okay. They pretend to be renunciates. They're eating more than we are. So he even one day started criticizing his own guru. His guru was lamenting in humility that I wasted my whole life. I haven't done a love of God. And he started giving his guru advice. Why didn't he meditate on Brahman? So his guru was so offended by him. He said, get out of my sight. When I die looking at you, the whole life will be wasted. In contrast, his grandmother Ishwar Puri, he served his guru with all humility. In old age, he even cleaned his stool and even carried him on his shoulder. And he was blessed to deliver the whole world, which he did through the agency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when we have the opportunity to serve a great devotee, we should take advantage of it. And by doing so, we can become prideless. So pride is a major obstacle. It doesn't mean just serve a great devotee, but more should be to serve all the Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. And we have that mood that will enable you to cultivate humanity. Then, by keeping silent, we can overcome the obstacles on the path of mystic yoga. Well, the scriptures often could talk of silence, they also talk of mourn. But what does silence in spiritual life mean? Silence in spiritual life doesn't mean we don't talk. Like Prabhupada said, silence in spiritual life means you talk only what is relevant. What is relevant? Chanting the holy name, discussing Krishna Katha. That is silence. Preaching Krishna consciousness. Silence doesn't mean no talking. Like in India, you have some sadhus, they haven't spoken for years and years, and people take great pride in going to them. But for us, more brothers, for us, silence is one of the qualities of a Vaishnava. So you will say, how can I be silent and preach? So silence doesn't mean you don't preach. Silence doesn't mean you don't chant. Silence doesn't mean you don't do Krishna Katha. When you do this, but you avoid prajalpa, you avoid mundane talk, you avoid talk that is not related to Krishna. That is real silence. So, by willing silence, when you overcome the attraction of mystic yoga. There are many types of yoga, and the highest form of yoga is Bhakti yoga. In America, as you know, yoga is very popular. But it's popular more for commercial purposes, not for spiritual purposes. They have hot yoga, cold yoga, different versions. There's a suit the audience. The yoga actually is a great science. It's a science of self-realization. In China, for example, yoga is very popular. Very, very popular. And the government's encouraging it. And a lot of people go to yoga. A lot of devotees run yoga institutes. They come and see yoga. Gradually bring them to Bhakti yoga. Okay, so by being silent, you can overcome the path of mystic yoga. And same by stopping. By stopping sense gratification, one can conquer envy. In the previous shloka, it is written, one can conquer over a sense gratification by determination. So determination is needed in any sphere of life. Even when you were students and you wanted to get admitted to a good college, you had to study hard to get good grades. Same with your life also. For success, you need determination. So for spiritual life also, you need determination. And now the Muni says, by making plans with determination, you can overcome the desire for sense gratification. I make a plan with determination. I'm going to stay out of sense gratification. So here now the Muni says, by giving up sense gratification, you can conquer over envy. Envy takes on various forms also. A is envy of B, B is envy of C. Envy is so popular. But give up sense gratification. How can you give up sense gratification? Have the understanding that the senses can never really be satisfied. To think that I can satisfy my senses and experience real happiness, just an illusion. Just like any dermatologist will tell you, if you have an itching disease, when you scratch, initially you may get some relief, but then the disease becomes worse. So the scriptures have pointed out again and again, the sense gratification is an enemy in the path of spiritual life. So now the Muni said, by discussing plans with determination, you can give up envy also. So how to give up envy, how to give up lamentation, how to give up temptation with sense gratification, all this knowledge is there in the scriptures. We just need to turn to the scriptures for guidance, recognizing the scriptures are presenting flawless knowledge and message for our purification. And if we practice it, we'll be able to make spiritual advancement. Therefore, it's very important that we read these books. And we don't give the books just for show. We read the books and associate with the devotees and develop the mood of humility. Humility is one of the six principles of surrender. You may have all the knowledge, you may have all the wealth, but if you don't have spiritual humility, it has no value. But you have, just like in material life, people want to dress themselves in ornaments. So the ornament for a devotee is spiritual humility. And we should cultivate spiritual humility and mood of service in dealing with all Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. Hey. I will take on some questions for some time. If somebody has some intelligent questions. Yeah.
About knowledge and overcoming the
lamentations. Lamentation and illusion.
And illusion. We read, we hear, but somehow to overcome lamentation is seems to be almost impossible. We even lament for if got a car and it has a dent, we feel sorry. Of course, you know, lose any life. Definitely,
you
know, we lament, but...
You may lament somebody has passed away, but you should also know everything is temporary, and anyone can pass away. You have to see things in the right perspective. Lament, we are not saying if someone passes away, you can't express words of grief. You may express words of grief, but the real words of grief should be mentioned with a person alive and miss you in this body. That's what we should really be lamenting. But many of us try to preach. When you preach, some take to it, some don't take to it. But we should all try to preach. That's, you're doing your duty. You may not give up 100% limitation, but at least if you have spiritual knowledge, you know that all my relatives, all my friends, they all will go away. It's just a matter of time. If on the other hand you're thinking, no, our relationships will continue. That's like the Mormons. In America, you've all heard of the Mormons. So what is a Mormon philosophy? If the husband and wife get initiated together in a temple, you're not allowed to visit a Mormon temple. It's private. Only for those who are initiated in the Mormon faith. So if the husband and wife are united, are initiated. And after death also they go to heaven together. So material is a very attractive philosophy. They say, oh, we'll be together again with our beloved ones. But if you ask them, what if everyone's karma is different? Then they have no answer. So, people are in so many times of religion. About 50, 60 years ago, in California, there was a group of people who were keeping dead bodies, promising their relatives they'd bring them back to life in 10, 20 years. And the whole scam was exposed. So, anyway, some limitation will be there. But still we should cultivate spiritual knowledge. One question? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, lamentation in spiritual life, like when some sannyasi or advanced devotee comes today, then devotee also lament for that. When Prabhupada left the body, lots of devotees lamented. So that lamentation.
That's okay.
That's okay.
I am lamenting. I have wasted 30 years of my life bringing poison. Now I'm not going to waste any time. Lamentation, okay. You lament for a departed Vaishnava. That's okay. But Vaishnava is worshipped in two ways. One is Vapu, one is Vani. So the Vapu may go away, but the Vani is eternal. There's a Vyasadeva not there, but he is there through his Vani. So Vani is more important than Vapu. But that doesn't mean you want the Vapu. But over time, everyone will go away. So that limitation is okay. Yes.
So much, as we discussed, it said that by discussing spiritual knowledge, one becomes prideless and humble.
By serving,
we do services and we like discuss everything, we do everything possible. Still, sometimes a small instigation and the whole humility suddenly becomes a farce and you become really puffed up all the stuff. So how do you overcome that?
Say that again. Repeat the question.
Yeah, Guru Maharaj, like when you serve a great personality, you do all kinds of services for a great personality. It said that you become prideless, you become. But sometimes even a small instigation by somebody, the whole humility comes completely washed away.
Senior Vaishnava.
Yes.
He becomes arrogant.
No, Guru Maharaj. Like,
and then you don't become arrogant.
Like, so you're serving a senior Vaishnava and then suddenly somebody else, you're supposed to be humble and you have interaction with some other devotees and something.
So we should try to be mature and try to maintain stability in our behavior. In other words, our philosophy is to be humble in dealing with everyone, big or small. But that doesn't mean if somebody is doing something wrong, you don't correct it. You can correct it, you must correct it, but in a humble way. Sometimes people think, you're correcting me and that's something wrong. Yeah. Once Prabhupada was asked, how can I be humble and distribute books at the same time? An American girl asked him this question in Chicago. How can I be humble and distribute books at the same time? Like the Watchtower people, they go and present their books and stand on street corners. The problem is that when you're preaching, you should be like a lion. And when you're dealing with Vaishnavas, you should be like a lamb. The problem is that be a lamb at home and a lion outside. But the problem is, you become a lion at home and lamb outside. At home you're a lion, you're ready to fight with everyone. And then it comes to preaching, you become a lamb. Okay. I'm sorry, yeah.
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying, just like what you said, being humble means being bold enough to accept the truth and tell others what is the truth. That is humility means. It's just like what you said.
Yes.
I just humbly want to know from you the six principles of Saranagati. I want to hear from you, please.
One is to accept things that are favorable for spiritual advancement. The other second, I'm going to speak on that tomorrow. The six principles, if you want. They said to reject things which are unfavorable. Third is to accept Krishna as our maintainer and protector and our well-wisher. And then self-surrender and humility. These are the six principles that Lord Chaitanya gave to Sanatana Goswami. More questions? No more questions? Yeah.
Krishna tells in the Bhagavad Gita that if you are Brahma Bhuta, you can overcome them. And how can you become Brahma Bhuta? And what does Brahma Bhuta mean?
It means if you have spiritual knowledge, then you can overcome limitation and be always happy. If you have spiritual knowledge and you lose something, normally your moral is sad. If you have spiritual knowledge, you lost everything, but still you are content. I know so many devotees, they lost, but they are still content.
Yeah. Spiritual knowledge means lots of devotees. They have lots of knowledge in spiritual. They quote a lot of slokas, they read and they talk, but they're also getting lamentations. So is that spiritual knowledge by practical or?
Well, some lamentation will be there. But at least you know that it's can close the window. At least you know it's unavoidable. We're not saying it won't be any limitation at all. But the limitation will be very limited. I know so many people have been in situations where they have big disasters. They have spiritual knowledge. but only understood. So it's not that people are not content. If you have spiritual knowledge, you'll be content in any situation. If you don't have spiritual knowledge, you will never be content. Just like 2% of the world's population is today controlling 90% of the wealth, and 98% is controlling the balance. So why are people so ambitious? They're not content. They want more, 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 more. In America, the wealth is a little more equally distributed. But in India and America, Russia, 2% control all the 90% of the wealth. Any more questions? You should ask questions. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, sometimes devotee offends devotee, then this devotee only forgive him. The same time this devotee die, then what happened?
Somebody offends A, offends B, and B died.
B died.
B was the offender or the offended? Anyway, if we commit Vaishnava Pran, we'll get the reaction. If you've done Vaishnava Pran, better to ask for forgiveness. Then you have squared up the account. If you don't ask.
Before I ask, he died.
Then that's a bad luck. If you do Vaishnava Pran and you don't ask for forgiveness, then you take on the karma kriya. Therefore, be careful and avoid Vaishnava Pran. Like they say, calorie free cola. Nothing is karma free. No action from anyone. You need to be very careful. Yeah. Yes.
We have got some section from Canto 7. And I remember in your past visits, you have nicely actually covered in some of your lectures about 9 processes of devotional service. So I have a question related to that. So as you mentioned, about cultivation of spiritual knowledge today, and I'm trying to relate, like, you know, hearing or reading or while chanting or thinking of fast and so on, all that results in cultivation of spiritual knowledge. But also when we start really like serving, you know, for example, in temple, for example, we are serving the demon. So does that also result in spiritual knowledge?
Service.
Like, not advancement, I'm saying, like directly that we read Vajra. And the reason I'm asking is, sometimes I have this discussion with some devotees and someone mentioned to me, what is the need of sitting in the class when you can directly serve? So, I think I'll be...
Well, both are important, hearing and serving. Just like when you're sick, to recover, you need 2 things. The doctors will know: medicine and diet. If you give medicine and patient doesn't follow the diet, his recovery will be slow. If you follow the diet and not the medicine, again, recovery will not be there. So we need both, Prabhupada said. This is Prabhupada's example. Our medicine is chanting and hearing. Our diet is service. Some people say, oh, I just chant all day. Fine, but you're not doing any service. So the chanting will give you limited benefit. So we need to do both chanting and service. We'll take questions from people who are not asked. You ask questions. Anyone who hasn't asked. Yeah.
Guru Maharaj, you discussed about the determination. How we can be determined, what could some of the things we can do
with... Rupa Goswami explains this. See, all our questions are answered. Rupa Goswami is saying, adho shada tada sadhu. In the initial stage, he has a desire. I want genuine spiritual life. Then you get guided to ISKCON. And if your desire is, I just want some show-bottle religious life, then you go to Yogi Bhajan or somebody. So, you come to genuine spiritual association, and you get genuine knowledge. And you apply that Bhajana Kriya, then there's Anartha Nirvati. The Anartha is going to get weak. So everything depends upon Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya means process of chanting and hearing. So chanting and hearing is very important. Without that, nobody can make progress. And that's the key to determination. Everything has a price. And they say you get what you pay for, isn't it? More questions. I'm taking some questions from those who not ask questions. Yes.
Is hearing same as reading scriptures?
Hearing is also reading. We hear the holy name and read the scriptures. And that's also hearing. But we also should go to classes. That's also important. One question?
Guru Maharaj, the humility part is a little difficult to understand.
Challenging.
Yes, it is challenging.
Well, normally, our physical body may weigh 70 kilos, but our false ego is 100 kilos. So to be humble, in the present environment, it's a challenge. That's why it is a challenge. That's what Lord Chaitanya says. If you want to develop love of God, if you want to be in a position to be chanting, then practice humility. It's not so difficult. Let's take an example. I believe that everything I think is right. And everything else that everyone else thinks is wrong. I'm the smartest man around. Let's say you think that you have that approach. You won't go too far. You make more enemies than friends. If you have the moment, let me serve everyone. After they're all chanting Hare Krishna, they all are devotees. You'll make more and more. So humility is challenging but not impossible. But if we have spiritual knowledge, then it becomes easier. One of the big obstacles is we don't read enough. That's like in a medical field, you have to read. Or in any field. And then the professional chartered accountant, you have to keep reading to keep up with the latest. And so, as doctors, you don't just go to seminars where the latest. One day they say, no cholesterol is good. Next day they say, high cholesterol is good. You have to keep up with the latest speculations. Okay. More questions? No more? No question from the ladies? Yeah.
Oh,
we would love to have a 90% discount. But the way also have to suffer for their karma, but it gets minimized. Prabhupada used to say, that's like the high court may sentence you to 10 years in jail, and then you go to the Supreme Court, and they reduce the sentence to 2 years. The punishment is still there, but it's reduced. So the devotees, we shouldn't expect, now my karmic reaction is going to come down to zero. Sometimes people say, I'm an initiated devotee. Why did this happen to me? We don't say, if you get initiated, you never see the doctor again. Your stocks will always go up. We are all under the influence of our karmas also. But it gets minimized. But it never becomes zero. More questions? Yes.
Dhruvaj, in day-to-day life, we work and we take care of the family, cook, clean, whatever, all those type of things. Even though we're initiated, sometimes that seems to be like a bigger priority than our Krishna consciousness. And how do we go about changing?
Could you repeat?
Just the fact that sometimes we make our family and job more of a priority than our spiritual life.
Okay,
so how do we change that? I mean, you know,
let's say you're a householder. So naturally, you also have to have a plan to generate money to maintain. We should only use the money to spread Krishna consciousness. If you don't want to do that, then you take on all the karma in earning money. And if you have a job, let's say, to maintain a job in a competitive field, you also have to be materially alert. You have to know your job. So you can do that as long as the results are being offered to Krishna. And you're using your life in service to the Lord, then it's okay. But also maintain a balance in that to keep your spiritual life strong. Now that I work so hard, earning money, doing 3 jobs, I have no time to do my japa. Now that I have to work so hard, no time to read. Actually, as I've said many times, in America, the devotees are more fortunate than in many other parts of the world. You have virtually all facilities, decent jobs. So if you want to eat, practice spiritual life, it's very easy. But sometimes too much opulence also contaminates us. Yeah. Any more questions? Yes.
But sometimes some difficulties comes in our life. So then we have no control over the situations, but our mind tries to make some plans.
You misunderstand. Material life is full of difficulties. The problem comes when we expect our life is going to be full of comforts. I'm thinking it. Everything will be comfortable. I must never fall sick. I must never get old. My children will get top grades. We always think. But we don't think the ground reality. And when the ground reality strikes you, say, ah! Now I'm depressed. Just like mental depression. Mental depression, as you know, 3 out of 5 patients who go to a doctor have depression as the main reason for their disease. And what is the root cause of depression? The root cause of depression is over-ambition. Expecting that nothing bad is going to happen to me. And building up huge ambitions. Yes.
So, question. When should we ask a question? Like, for example, sometimes we know the answer, but we still ask the question for judgment. And sometimes we know half answer, and we're confused if to ask or not.
You ask a question.
It's time to ask a question.
To whom?
Should we just ask, like, for example, Srimad Bhagavatam class is going on. And I have a question, but I know half answer. Is that a submissive way to ask a question, or I'm trying to judge a person?
Either way, asking questions is good. Prabhupada used to say, asking questions is a sign of intelligence. Arjuna asked so many questions in the Bhagavad Gita. If you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's nothing but questions and answers. But ask questions from the right source.
Even though we think that, even though sometimes we're judging a person, even that is okay?
Judging what they know, they know. Judging what aspect?
I mean, sometimes we want to see if the person is more knowledgeable than me. Let me ask a question to him. And that way. I mean, it happens a lot.
And now they're going to take advantage of the answers. I think questions have value if you're going to benefit from the answer. If I'm just asking questions for the sake of asking, then it has no value. That's like Prabhupada said, you should get initiated only if you're serious about spiritual life. If you're thinking, oh, everyone thinks it's something to Guru, let me on the day of Guru, then it has no value. Yeah. One question? Yes.
Yes, Guru Maharaj. Someone initiated devotee, if he dies and he had some chanting and some eating prasadam and, you know, had visited ISKCON temple, but not initiated and not real regular.
Doesn't matter.
But he died, can he get the human birth? Or he has to go to the different species of life?
I can't guarantee what exactly you get. But the principle, some women come to the temple once. Once some women open a Prabhupada book, chant Hare Krishna, take in prasad, and get benefit. Devotional service is so powerful that even if we do 0.1% unintentionally means I don't even know who those Hare Krishnas are. It's like yesterday I was flying from Moscow to New York. The steward, he came up to me and said, I have a copy of Bhagavad Gita that I read. I'm sure he doesn't know that Krishna is supreme. But he has a Bhagavad Gita of Prabhupada. He knew Prabhupada's name. He reads sometimes. He can benefit. That's the power of bhakti. Even if you do 0.1%, that 0.1% carries with you to the next life. Like in a material situation, you may die with $1 million in the bank, but that doesn't mean it will go with you. The bhakti is so powerful. Even if you do accidentally, it goes with you. Agyata Sukriti, Gyata Sukriti. You knowingly do devotional service, unknowingly do. Okay, any more questions? Yes.
Maharaj, sometimes materialists say that devotees may use God as a hiding place to run away from their duty. They say that, say, for example, they are talking to me, they say, you have to have young kids, you should focus on their education, their future, and you are wasting your time into these things. So, how do we answer this?
They may say so many things. We are not saying that if you are a devotee, don't care for your children. But care for your children, but also care for their spiritual life and your spiritual life. We don't say if you are a devotee, you should completely neglect your material responsibilities. We never said that. But it should not replace the spiritual duties. They're both. Yes, anything else? Anyone in there and ask that question? No? No more questions? Yes.
Guru Maharaj, sometimes we see ISKCON senior devotee, we see the misuse of temple money. And that side, we congregation discuss about this. This one also offends?
You see, when a junior devotee or senior devotee, if we misuse Krishna's wealth, you have to pay the reaction. And if you're discussing it genuinely in a mood of rectification and humility, then it's okay. But if you're discussing it in a mood of fault finding, then it's not okay. Yes?
Guru Maharaj, I had a dilemma I want to clarify. Last time in the temple presence meeting, there are some temples, I was told, I wasn't sure, that they are, they said eating chocolate is okay, and I wasn't sure, many temples are using it, even though ISKCON law with 97 said it's not okay, and I saw many GBC members were there, and didn't object to it, so I just want to get your opinion.
Eating mushroom also.
Nothing to laugh. Chocolates. One day they had a can of chocolates.
Oh, like real chocolate.
I don't know.
Which is cocoa in
there. I have a devotee in Bombay. She makes real chocolates. From chocolate, 100% organic and genuine. So I don't know what chocolate they are referring to.
We're just reading the other day, this was discussed. Prabhupada says if it has caffeine, because cocoa has caffeine, and caffeine is intoxicating, so we should not take.
We have genuine organic culture. Don't ask me how that thing.
Organic means the cocoa is built up organically, that's what they mean. It's a real cocoa, that means not using any, that's what organic means. Organic caffeine.
Okay, any more questions?
So, Maharaj, is it okay to drink decaf tea or decaf coffee?
Better to avoid it. Yeah, you can have herbal tea. Okay, any more? Yes.
Caffeine is 3% caffeine. 97% caffeine. 3% caffeine.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Sometimes when you get a materialistic opportunity, it causes you to get some materialist contamination. And you start making plans how to escape yourself.
When you say materialistic opportunity, what do you mean?
Like, you know, you get a good opportunity, like job, promotions and all that. Then you start making plans, and sometimes that causes limitations.
So make a plan. I'm going to earn more money and use it for Krishna. And on the other hand, it is your choice. You earn more money, stack it in the bank, go increasing the bank balance till I cross a few $1 million. then I will think of Hare Krishna. Till then I have no time. You have a choice. Okay, so thank you very much.